Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Big thanks to you all who made it to the live event last Monday with investigative journalist Nick Bryant. Really appreciate your participation. We will be doing more live events this year. Because of the ongoing attacks to the In Other News website, I thought it would be important to have the web designer on the show for a quick update on what has been going on behind the scenes. Zach Taylor is the web designer and host provider for In Other News and several other prominent websites. I rebuilt In Other News from the ground up since the last hack attack a year ago. We talk with Zach now to get an update on what's been going on. Zach, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
I wanted to talk with you on the show about what's been going on behind the scenes. And I don't really talk about this area because, you know, you have problems and you fix them and you move on. But we're having consistent problems with the site. You've been the webmaster for InOtherNewsRadio.com. This is your work. You're a professional at this. You have other high-end websites that you maintain for big companies, but something strange is going on with this particular website in terms of it being targeted by hackers and bots. If you would, can you tell listeners about that?
Sure. What I would say is occurring is a coordinated attack on your website specifically to gain access, to take it down, to cause general mayhem. But essentially, your website is unique because on a daily basis, it receives, you know, in upwards of, you know, tens, if not 100 or more attempts to break through your encrypted password and my password as well. And on several occasions, they have succeeded. And it's really, it's hard to fathom because the passwords that we've been using are extremely difficult, upwards of 25 characters, random selections of numbers, symbols, and letters of varying cases. And they're still able to get in. You'll notice, you know, based upon the IP addresses, you know, that it says, you know, at one point that it's coming from Maryland, and then the next attempt, you know, immediately thereafter will be from Virginia, or the next attempt will be from Moldova or the Ukraine or some other, you know, Balkan country. And the only way that they could be happening, you know, in such quick succession and from a variety of different IP addresses on a sustained basis as if it's being coordinated in some fashion by someone with some real resources at their disposal. And this has never happened to me for any other client. You know, just for their anonymity, I'm not going to name anybody, but you're right. I do have people that I work for that depend upon the safety and security of their hosting solution. And, you know, even more so you do because of the subject matter. I would say that what we've experienced really, really confirms all of the worst possible fears you might have about organized hacking attempts by state-sponsored entities.
Have you seen anything like this before in your experience of working on different websites?
No. This is I've had websites that were hacked, maybe because of an out-of-date plugin or a security flaw in some software. But no, I have never had another client that was receiving daily sustained attempts to crack into a really difficult password. And, you know, not just you, but I mean, it's also my account. And I would imagine that if there were other admin accounts, they would have those ones and be known about them as well. What's crazy is that you're the only account that even posts on the website. My username isn't listed anywhere except but in the admin area. So now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I mean, we know that they hacked in using, you know, your account previously. They probably made note of who I was at that time and, you know, whatever the password was then. And we, you know, changed everything pretty quickly, but you know, from that point on, they knew exactly what accounts they needed to try to hack at any given point.
Right. We're constantly at this now, and it's using up a lot of our time. And since that recent hack a few months ago, we got SiteLock. Something just happened with that. Do you mind explaining what happened?
Sure. Okay. SiteLock is a security company that provides software to protect your website on a variety of different content management systems. So let's say that they are available as a purchase through either a hosting provider or directly through the company themselves. But it's a security plugin that you install on the website, and they monitor the activity. And if they find that your website has been hacked due to a security flaw or, you know, some other method, then they will isolate the malicious code or files, and then they'll excise it. They also provide firewall protection, which is specifically designed for brute force attacks like what we're seeing on your website. So we had installed the malware protection because that's what you had experienced issues with before. After that happened, you know, your website was up and running and everything was fine, and there was nothing being posted by other people or agents. And we thought that everything was good because we had set up SiteLock for a full year. And I thought that, you know, everything was in place and everything was just fine. Well, somehow the other day it was disabled. And getting into my hosting account and taking a look, it looks like it was disabled on the hosting account directly.
Which means that they would have had to somehow get your username and password for your hosting account, which you have other websites, and this is your business.
Yes, so it's pretty serious. So my password has already been changed. But what's really scary is I don't want to name the hosting company we use just for security purposes, but they don't have any idea, or as of yet, they can't provide us with any information as to how anyone was able to access and get in here. And when we were on the phone with the representative, I would say that her demeanor changed rather quickly when she put us on hold and then came back to tell us what was going on. Immediately, as soon as she got back on there, she just let us know that she had no idea what had happened, but that we were right, and that she had put in a ticket, and that was all she could do. And she wanted to get off the phone pretty quickly, I would say. I don't know. Did you feel the same way, Jeff?
Yes, it was very suspicious. Her tone changed very quickly. Zach Taylor with ZTT Consulting. You're a web designer and host provider. You've been doing this for 5 years. Thank you very much for being on Another News.
Thank you, Jeff.
We're going to take your phone calls later in this show. A main focus of In Other News has been climate engineering. In Other News has produced the highest volume of shows on the topic of geoengineering and weather control than any show on the Pacifica Network. We're going to continue that trend this year because there are sinister operations going on behind the scenes that the Second Net media doesn't report. Despite the officially confirmed existence and deployment of weather control technology, an act of God can still be used as plausible deniability when specific regions are targeted by adverse weather. We're joined today by returning guest Dane Wigington. He's investigated the diminished solar charge capacities that have resulted as a consequence of the ongoing deployment of aerosols from jet planes in Shasta County, California. He manages and operates geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane, welcome back to Another News.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, you've written recently about how you suspect, based on your data analysis, that weather control technology was used to artificially generate and direct a snowstorm to the protest encampment at Standing Rock, South Dakota. Would you talk about that research?
First, for most people, Jeff, the notion that a snowstorm could be engineered is far beyond what they imagined to be possible. And for all of your listeners, I would encourage them to search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm so that they can see even mainstream coverage, Fox News, Popular Science, and many other sources covered the fact that the Chinese government was routinely engineering, chemically engineering snowstorms over many parts of their country, and they did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing. And what this involves is chemically converting what should have been rain into snow, and this creates a cool down on the ground because of the chemical nucleation process. It causes an endothermic reaction. And for those who don't think this is possible, this level of weather modification, you simply need to do your research. And so if you see that the Chinese government openly announced they were doing this, we know our government is far ahead of the Chinese government or any other government in the weather mod area. So this is reality. This is not speculation. So when we can see on radar, Jeff, that, for example, the start of the Dakota brutal snowstorms, the series of them that's still continuing to this day, we had temperatures of low 50s with rain in Minnesota, and that low pressure circulated around back over the Dakotas. How does 50-plus degree rain suddenly flash out to snow with no orographic enhancement, which means high mountains topography underneath? How does that happen? I captured the radar loop of that. Your listeners can look at it if they search the article, Power Structure, Wages, Weather, Warfare on Dakota Pipeline Protesters. So when you look at that radar, you can see drifting rain that for no reason at all flashes out to frozen precipitation. In fact, as I speak to you right now in Northern California, it's snowing at 42, 43 degrees with warm water that's flowing in off the Pacific, and it's not snowing further south of us in elevations of 6,000 to 7,000 feet. How can that be?
I think you've got to go step by step here with listeners. Let's go back to the question you pose. How does that happen? How does rain flash into snow? And you mentioned China climate engineering with chemically nucleating snow. You suspect that's happening here.
It is. It's from aircraft dispersions of materials above the drifting cells of moisture. That's how it happens. Pardon me for moving ahead a little too quickly on that. But so for those that have never seen what an endothermic reaction is, what it does, at geoengineeringwatch.org, if you search engineered snowstorms, what are they spraying? You can see lab tests we have in our articles that show what happens when you put a couple drops of either a biological ice nucleating agent or chemical into a vessel of water. It freezes it instantaneously. And for those that have never seen that kind of reaction, I just challenge them to think of their cold pack in their first aid kit that can sit at room temperature for 20 years. You mix the chemicals, you have ice. And this is going on, period. It's been going on for a very, very long time. In fact, the first patents for this go back to 1950. So this is something our government's been experimenting with for a very, very long time. People would ask, why would they do this? Why would they chemically engineer snowstorms? You have to look at the same mentality, Jeff, as you had in the Gulf of Mexico, an example I often use. Most people, Jeff, you remember the Macondo oil well spill there?
I'm reluctant to use the word spill, even.
It's not a, yeah, well, yeah, whatever the bottom line is, it was an oil disaster.
Yes.
Let's call it that. And they used the chemical Corexit to hide that situation. They weren't concerned about the consequences of using Corexit because Corexit made the situation, according to environmental impact reports, 52 times more toxic. But it hid the problem. So back to the climate engineering, back to chemical ice nucleation. While the massive division and debate and confusion rages on about the true state of the global climate, when you can create snow, even if it's 45 degrees, for most people, they feel there must not be anything wrong with the climate because look, it's snowing outside. And those temperatures do drop, by the way. The chemical nucleation process will continue to drop temperatures on the ground because you're creating a cold, dense layer of air that settles down to the ground, lowers the mercury, creates the headlines they need in order to continue confusing and dividing the population as to the true state of the climate. And why would they want to do that? Because they want to keep business as usual. They don't want to panic the populations around the globe. If they understood how severely damaged the climate was, there would be a very different mindset in the population. But when you can engineer snow in this manner, from location to location, and Boston is a good example of this, Jeff. Remember the 2014 Boston record snows that we heard about on media every day?
Yes.
So you didn't hear media hyping the fact that there was no snow as much as 14,000 feet up in the Sierras. We had temperatures of 70 and 80 degrees. Didn't hear about that. We don't hear about right now. And in fact, for about the last month, we've had consistent periods that come up, Jeff, where we have temperatures in the lower 48, 50 degrees colder than the North Pole.
These anomalies are glaring to people who take the time to research. But if you could explain the anomaly of elevation.
Normally, meteorologically speaking, when you see precipitation moving across the landscape, you'll see a stationary rain snow line, if you have topography, mountains, at a certain elevation. It's snowing at such and such elevation, correct? And we don't see that anymore in most cases. We see you're either in the Weather Channel paid liars. That's exactly what they are. Weather Channel's owned by Blackstone, Bain Capital. We have Rothschild owns Weather Central. Monsanto owns Climate Corp. The power structure has purchased all the weather disseminating agencies. They need to control the message. So we have these paid deceivers at these power structure-owned entities trying to explain away why there's now a warm side to a winter storm and a cold side. The warm side has warm rain and thunder showers, and the cold side is a blizzard. Since when? Meteorologically speaking, this is totally absurd. But now it's being explained away as normal. Thundersnow, Jeff, how much have you heard about thundersnow in recent years? It's now normal to have thundersnow.
Yes.
So why do we have that? Because the atmosphere is warm. We have a lot of convection. And the climate engineering also, the particulates being sprayed for nucleating agents and solar radiation management. For your listeners that don't know what that is, this is a core part of climate engineering, solar radiation management, to put a reflective layer of particles into the atmosphere for the purpose of blocking some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, playing God with the weather and trying to turn the thermostat down on the planet with toxic, electrically conductive materials. Back to the lightning. Why do we have so much thundersnow? We do have a warmer atmosphere. We have now electrically conductive materials mixed in that help to generate further electrical charges, more lightning, more thundersnow, which is now the normal. So the system's been completely derailed, and back to the snow lines, topography, we now typically see the weathermen trying to explain away why there's a warm side to the storm and a cold side, and often the snow has nothing to do with elevation. It depends on whether you're on the warm side or the cold side of the storm, and this is meteorologically absurd.
Elevation is no longer an issue. Snow is falling everywhere, or it's warm on all elevations.
At this moment that we're speaking right now, off the East Coast, warm water that has just migrated up from the Gulf of Mexico is snowing far out over the Atlantic Ocean. Why? There's no colliding air mass. There's no reason for that to happen, except for chemical ice nucleation. So this is part of the weather theater that has really been tailored in to many degrees around the American population, because if the American population woke up to what was happening, that would be a huge counterbalancing force. But when they can engineer these snowstorms, and record warmth, by the way, it's snowing down in some of the lower East Coast states. The current data, the scheduled weather, if you will, those states that are getting snow now will return to record warmth in less than 2 weeks.
Dane, getting back to some of the purposes, initially the question was about disrupting nonviolent protests, and specifically the Standing Rock encampment. You've noticed there was weather control technology deployed to direct a storm toward that area, and it happened several times. So we have that example. You have the data on your website, geoengineeringwatch.org. Would you please give us other examples of what appear to be intentional disruption of effective nonviolent protests using weather control?
Well, let's take the Occupy protests, Jeff, that we had a, quote, freak record October snowstorm. Many people might remember that event. How convenient was that? We had snow falling on top of the protesters when they really wanted that encampment broken apart. Was that just another coincidence? And when we're looking at how anomalous these events are and how perfectly timed they are and how well they serve those in power, and the fact that we know this kind of winter event can be engineered. The Chinese have openly stated that they have routinely carried on this sort of event. Why would we not think this is going on when we have the satellite imagery to prove that precipitation that should not be converting to frozen is? And this is a term, in fact, the Weather Channel meteorologists have now coined this term when the rain changes over to snow. Why would rain just change over to snow unless you're at a higher elevation? So, again, all I'm trying to do, Jeff, is get your listeners to actually look and understand that this is real. And if we to look at the data, to look at the satellite imagery, to look at the patents, to look at the Senate documents we have, one of which is over 750 pages long, outlining the full scope and scale of global climate modification going back to the late 40s. I'm just asking people to look at the data and not have a knee-jerk denial reaction that they've been programmed to respond in that manner. The seriousness of what's happening in our skies cannot be overstated. In fact, mathematically speaking, with all the data we have, climate engineering at this point in time is mathematically the single greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. Or the weather warfare aspect, that's a historical record going back to the late 40s as well. We have Project Popeye in the 60s, documented weather warfare by the U.S. government. We have other examples. Pakistan in 2010 showed resistance to U.S. policy, and almost immediately their country was 20% underwater. Thailand, 2011, denied the U.S. an airbase that they knew was for weather mod. Record flooding immediately hit them. And we have instance after instance after instance. It can't be just coincidence, can it?
It's being wielded as a weapon to punish in these circumstances. But there are also other uses we're seeing for weather control technology, such as the remediation, which you suspect is a heating planet.
Well, on that note, I would say, because I don't want anybody to think this is my, quote, conclusion. I just want to give facts, and that people can verify this facts. We've just passed the 382nd consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. There's no one to dispute that those records. We've just had 2016 was a record-shattering warm year, which broke 2015, which broke 2014. And when people say the data is being falsified, they're right. It is being falsified. And everywhere we check, everywhere we monitor temperatures, we're seeing 3, 4, 5 degree under-reporting, not over-reporting, but under-reporting. And as far as the temperatures or who records the data, what the source of information is, let's get past that too. If people don't believe what they see with their own eyes, there's nothing I can tell them. If people watch films like Chasing Ice, which I think you've seen, Jeff, and if they look at film footage of glaciers all over the globe, they're disappearing everywhere. Sea levels are absolutely rising. Florida, Miami can't keep ahead of it. They're pumping out every high tide. And for those who have claimed that, as some have, that the oceans aren't rising, the land is sinking everywhere, also nonsense. The subsidence is a very, very small fraction of a fraction in any given location. We have sea levels are rising. When you have ice disappearing, it runs downhill, and that's raising ocean levels, period. So climate engineering is simply a way to try to, again, confuse and divide the population. A divided population can't stand up against the power structure that's oppressing them, and the infighting is immense over this issue, especially because we all don't like Al Gore. I don't like Al Gore. Although they can engineer these cool downs, those cool downs come at the cost of an even worsened overall warming, just like the situation in the Gulf of Mexico, Jeff. So there's a price to pay for what they're doing, and that price is unimaginably high.
It is complex, and you're an anti-geoengineering activist who believes, based on the facts that you present, that the planet is warming. Take us through the different positions of anti-geoengineering activists.
If someone claims to be against climate engineering, and they don't recognize or acknowledge that these cool downs are engineered, chemically engineered, then how can one be against something that they don't even openly recognize as being the very thing they're against?
So there are anti-geoengineering activists who don't believe that the planet is warming.
I would say at least half.
At least half.
And that is exactly the goal of the climate engineer.
So you're an anti-geoengineering activist. You're someone who knows that climate engineering technology is being deployed in real time, and you agree with a lot of the global warming activists out there, such as the Bill McKibben groups, etc. Have you crossed any bridges with your research and brought this forward to them? Because I think it's important for them to acknowledge.
Let me explain it this way. As far as people like Bill McKibben, I mean, I have great disdain for him as well, and many of the environmental groups, many of the global warming community groups, because their level of denial is baffling, and their level of hypocrisy is baffling. You can't have a legitimate conversation about the climate without first and foremost discussing climate engineering. And across the board, Greenpeace, Sierra Club, McGibbon, 350.org, all of them absolutely refuse to acknowledge climate engineering, which makes them even more hypocritical than the arenas of people who refuse to acknowledge the planet is warming. So we have more than enough hypocrisy to go around. And who funds McGibbon and 350.org? Rockefeller Foundation. No surprise. We have other camps and groups as well that are in the same boat. And with Greenpeace, I debated or discussed and debated the climate engineering issue on national TV with Greenpeace's top scientist. Anybody who listened to that interview would be clear. He obviously knew climate engineering was going on, but was not at liberty to discuss it. So the consequences from what has happened in our skies all over the globe, without our knowledge, without our consent, irreparable damage to all of us, to the environment, to the biosphere, to the atmosphere, it's so unimaginably massive that if the public ever wakes up to this, it will be a paradigm shift. Populations all over the globe would be literally grabbing their pitchforks and torches and looking for who to hold responsible. And every single person, Jeff, who has participated in this crime, whether it's actively or passively, because if meteorologists lie to cover up what they know is being engineered, are they not an accessory to the crime, Jeff?
I would say they are an accessory.
I would too.
It seems to me that they're participating in the cover-up.
It's that way with any other crime. If you lie to cover up a crime that you know someone committed around you, you're guilty. So why aren't they speaking out? Let's look at, you know, because people would ask this. People want to convince themselves that agencies would certainly speak out. People within these agencies would speak out. That's not true. One, let's look at government weather scientists at the National Weather Service and NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Not only do those scientists have no First Amendment protection, none, they now have a federal gag order on them, a federal gag order on all the weathermen. How big a red flag do we need? So, I mean, there is every effort being made right now to make sure that this issue is not known. We have countries around the globe participating, even opposing countries, China, Russia, U.S. They are collaborating and colluding on climate engineering, all for their own reasons. They all want to hide from their populations the fact that the biosphere is imploding. Irreparable damage has been done. It can't be shut off. We're through the guardrail. And their goal now is to simply hide the damage as long as possible, try to use technology to do that, technology that's causing nothing but additional harm. And that's how severe our situation is. And for those that think that there's nothing wrong with the biosphere, enjoy your comfort zone while you can, because you won't be able to enjoy it much longer. We have ecosystems crashing around the globe right now. We have UV radiation. By the way, Jeff, we didn't mention that geoengineering destroys the ozone layer. It appears to be the largest single cause of ozone destruction, not the CFCs that we've been told. CFCs are very harmful, no question, but mathematically they're a tiny fraction of the overall damage that we know has been done. And climate engineering, and your listeners can research this too. I don't ask anybody to believe me. Search geoengineering destroys the ozone layer. They'll find this recognition from some of the largest science institutions around the globe. But no acknowledgement that this has been going on. And one more point, Jeff, for those who don't think this is going on, here's something I'm not sure you know that we did. We have a legal team at geoengineeringwatch.org.
Mm-hmm.
We've already filed in Canada, and we're in the process of filing in the U.S. But our legal team did a survey of 1,500-plus climate scientists. We published the full list, 1,500 plus. Not one was willing to deny on the record that climate engineering had already been deployed. Not one. How big a red flag is that?
I mean, we know that it's going on. The doublethink is astounding to experience and be a part of in this society. I'm wondering, Dane, have any insiders come forward on or off the record to confirm what very few within the United States already know about the real-time deployment of weather control technology?
Yes. Your listeners can search geoengineeringwatch.org. If they search dialogue with the geoengineering insider, they'll see a conversation that I had, communications that I had with an inside person from Oak Ridge Lab. That's a very revealing conversation. And this person shows the mindset of those involved with these programs who have convinced themselves what they're doing is for the greater good, as this individual had. And in that dialogue, he made the comment that I wasn't really looking at the bigger picture. because I was worried about some trees dying in California. If that's what they had to do in order to try to cool things off, then that was for the greater good, as if he had the right or any of the geoengineers had the right to make that choice. And by the way, if we lose the boreal forests, it's game over for the human race, and forests are dying all over the globe. In fact, let me give some statistics to that. We've lost 55%, over half, 3.4 trillion trees since the dawn of civilization. They're dying now at a pace that staggers the imagination. They're dead as far as you can see in forests here in California. But if you look at that dialogue with the Geoengineering Insider, you'll see their mindset that those who pay them and hire them convince them that what they're doing is for the greater good. They convince themselves what they're doing is for the greater good, that they have the right to make the choice as to where it rains, where it doesn't, how toxic that rain is. They feel they have this right, and that dialogue is very revealing.
This map that I've seen recently in the last couple of days showing the, quote, atmospheric river, I remember talking about rivers in the atmosphere 7 years ago in presentations. No one ever said that before. I was saying it in the context of there are resources in the atmosphere that will turn into a commodity.
It's a part of what's happening. You always have disaster capitalists, Jeff, and this is an example that's important you brought up. Because many people choose to believe that someone's making money off this, it's the only reason it's happening, there's no other aspect to it, and that's not true. It's a very complex situation, and I would use war as an example. We know that bankers make money off all sides of the war. But that doesn't mean the war didn't happen. It doesn't mean that people didn't die. Same thing is true with the climate. Yes, we have disaster capitalists making money off the climate. We have weather trading derivatives. We have a lot more going on than even that. But that doesn't mean that the climate disintegration isn't happening. It's absolutely happening. And for those who doubt that, I'm only asking to get past your ideology, look at hard facts, and frontline film footage. If you don't believe your own eyes, there's nothing I can do for you. Just like the people who don't believe climate engineering is going on, the Bill McGibbons, the Greenpeace people, the Sierra Club people. If they don't believe the film footage we have of jet aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17s, turning on and off, we have up-close photographs of the nozzles. I mean, we have film footage that can't be denied. If they don't believe that, there's nothing I can do for them. At that point, a person's denial is so total, and we have a society full of that kind of denial on both sides of the fence. That's what's important to say, on both sides of the fence. We have anti-geoengineering people that refuse to believe there's anything wrong with the climate, and we have environmentalists who refuse to believe climate engineering is going on. Both are in total denial.
Well, Dane, it's been many months since you've been on this show, and if you would, please tell listeners about the scope of your ongoing work, such as the radio show and any presentations you have online that people can see or anything coming up.
GeoengineeringWatch.org is a data repository. We're the largest site in the subject in the world. We don't sell anything. We're non-political. We simply want to bring this issue to light. I do a weekly radio show. It's posted on geoengineeringwatch.org. There are interviews with former government scientists, former CIA officers. There's a lot of data and presentations there, and we simply encourage people to use that. And what I want to say to your listeners, Jeff, also is that we've been trained to believe that we have no power over what's happening, and people need to get past that, because every one of your listeners has a great deal of ability to help us change the situation if they would simply help us to reach a critical mass of awareness. And that can be done best and most effectively by sharing credible data with others. And if you pass something on to someone, it's much more effective than just trying to verbally dissertate the information to them. So at Geoengineering Watch, we have color glossy two-sided flyers. We have informational cards. All of that can be downloaded for free and printed anywhere. We simply want to provide the template for people to have information, solid information with them. If people utilize that and help to raise awareness wherever they're at, we would reach critical mass soon. And then the corporate media, who is not covering this issue or trying to spin this issue as they're paid to do, when we reach a critical mass of awareness, the corporate media, academia, the scientists and National Weather Service, NOAA, we would have a virtual stampede of people coming out of the shadows to disclose this issue, but we have to reach a critical mass first to provide them cover. We need your listeners' help to do that. That's the kind of help people can provide that will help us to expose this unimaginable threat in our skies.
It will also be easier to push through the chorus call of fake news as well. Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org, thank you again for the work that you've been doing for so many years. You are on the front lines, and we all really appreciate that.
It's a team effort, Jeff. Thank you for helping us get the word out.
Okay, we're going to open the lines now. If you have a question or a comment for Dane Wigington, call 347-335-0818. So if you have a question or comment for Dane Wigington, right now, 347-335-0818 is the number to call. Dane, thanks for being here to talk about this. You're out there in Northern California. Dane, can you hear me?
Very good, Jeff.
Okay.
You're loud and clear.
What can you tell us about this storm that moved through recently?
Well, this trumped-up event, or that's the wrong term probably, no pun intended, this theaterized event that we're having now is like many in recent years in California, where all the weather disseminating agencies like the Weather Channel, Weather Central, agencies that are owned by power structure corporations, they are all tasked with making this event seem much bigger than it actually is. We've had very little rain in Northern California near Lake Shasta, and this is a very high rain area normally, historically. We've had 3+ inches of rain in the last 4 days. Didn't rain yesterday at all. Was supposed to pour today, not at all. So a lot of this moisture being fire hosed in, this quote-unquote Pineapple Express, which caused rain to fall over 10,000 feet in the Sierras yesterday.
Right.
Jeff, it's heavily aerosolized. It floats a canopy. It expands the moisture out into a very broad cover and floats a canopy over immense amounts of real estate, and that's the goal of solar radiation management. So they're trying to manipulate this moisture for various purposes, but it has the effect of robbing moisture from California, which is historically done. And when they talk about the drought being 6 years old, also not true. Drought goes back to 2007, much farther. And to give you an idea of how much drought, in my location for that, it's a little over 9 years here.
9 years. Dane, we have a call here. Hold on a second. Let me get this.
We're 250 inches of rain short. That's what I was going to say. 250 inches. Think about that.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, I'm calling from New York. Okay. And I believe I heard him on Gary Noel's show at one time.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think I was very interested in chemtrails. Do you know what health effects chemtrails could have on people? Could it affect the heart?
Absolutely. In fact, I just fielded a few emails from people whose blood pressure is going through the roof. And granted, there's many, many causal factors. It's impossible to nail down in any particular case. It's like, if you have a 50-year chain smoker that dies of lung cancer, it's difficult to prove that that's what killed him. But in this case, when we know that there are literally unimaginable amounts of toxic heavy metals and chemicals coming down that are part of the climate engineering programs, and their stated goal is dumping 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually. That's not counting the rest of the elements they use. So the rain tests we've done from around the country, precipitation tests, which proves what's in the air column, we are all sucking in with every breath unimaginable amounts of toxic heavy metals and chemicals directly related to the climate engineering assault. So the health effects are far too numerous to even begin to go into on this show. But environmentally speaking, the single greatest source of atmospheric contamination right now of lethal elements, exceeding even at this point the nuclear fallout, is climate engineering. And that's why we're focused on this issue, because it's short of nuclear cataclysm, it's the greatest and most immediate threat we face. And so if we can't inhale without breathing this stuff in, we have a fight for life on our hands.
The reason I say that is because a few years ago, well, I would say 2007 or something like that, I was sitting outside in Pennsylvania, and I had just walked up and down a huge hill with my grandkids and stuff, and I saw this red haze and, you know, at the treetops, and I had sent them inside, but I had to say, oh, wow, look at that haze, instead of me going inside. The next morning, I was sick as a dog. I mean, it felt like I had the flu. It was just, I thought I had pneumonia. I mean, I was sick for like 10 days or so. And after that, I started having heart problems. And I just, and nothing else had led to that at all. And when I had to go in the hospital for it, they couldn't find any reason for it. My system was clear. You know, it didn't.
Have them test you for heavy
metals. They couldn't see the cause.
Have them test you for heavy metals, which they won't do. In fact, some health providers like Kaiser have a big warning sign on their screens that come up if a physician tries to test for heavy metals. They don't even want that to be done anymore because every human test subject could test for hair, blood, or urine. If it's done properly,
it's
sky high in the same heavy metals.
What could be the redness of that? Is that a certain heavy metal?
On any particular day, with given atmospheric conditions, it would be impossible for me to speculate on that. But in addition, you have when you fill the atmosphere with particulates.
Jane, let me jump in for a minute here.
Sure, Jeff.
Some say barium. No one's really tested specifically for that when the conditions look that way. But I've heard that. If that's
barium's in every, you know, there can be a lot of variables, and you know, certainly Jeff, you're correct. Barium has been in every precipitation test we've taken. So that's a part of the climate engineering patents, but. In addition, you have fungal proliferation that's happening in the atmosphere because you're killing beneficial microbes in the atmosphere from the clouds to the ground, and you're giving a platform for fungal infections to proliferate. So now we have chronic respiratory infection all over the globe, and we have the Mayo Clinic stating on the record that 90% of that, 95%, is fungally related. So there's many different spiraling off aspects of this, but it's so much is related directly to climate engineering.
Well, I certainly think it was the reason for my having congestive heart failure.
How are you doing now?
I never had anything. I'm under medication. I mean, it hasn't gotten better.
I would do a heavy metals test, and I would talk to a good nutritionalist about a natural chelation program to start purging your body of those metals. It has to be done properly, but I would get a good heavy metals test, and that requires pre-testing chelation protocol. Especially for blood tests, because these metals lodge in your systems. Unless you chelate prior to the test, you will not get an accurate result. So I would insist on effective heavy metals testing. That'll give you a good profile.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Thank you,
and
caller.
I appreciate your work.
Thank you, man.
We're going to go to the next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air with Dane Wigington.
Yeah, hi. Jeff Brandon here.
Hi.
Hey, Dane. Just want to give you a few examples of experiences I've had as a geophysicist. Found out that high-temperature ice can be formed inside of plant cells to form, for instance, crop circles by high electromagnetics. Well, for instance, in a backyard experience here, 2012, December, where the end of the Mayan calendar occurred, supposedly, in my backyard, I'm watching, and I see a cloud of mist turn into horizontally driven snowflakes and then go back to mist. At the time, conceivably, we were having maybe a passage through an inflection point, maybe a high EMF locally. There was a corona effect. My brother saw it, and there was a blue lightning strike also with this. So putting aside the possibility of human activities, do you not think that certain times higher incidence of, for instance, solar, cosmic particles, oxygen, silicon, iron, the most abundant elements in the Earth's crust are falling out of the sky, naturally, electromagnetics occurring as well, and maybe what the scientists have done is found ways to heighten this or catalyze them. Take your comments off the air.
Thank you, Brad.
I would say this. One, any assumption that what's going on in our skies is in any way benevolent, I would argue the data does not support. These programs are malevolent in nature. It's about power and control. In regard to the elements and what we know is a direct cause and effect, we have a situation where whatever else may be going on, we know the cause and effect from what we know is going on. And to argue, any other position would be, for example, like running someone over in a crosswalk and determining that they died of a heart attack, and that wouldn't really be a rational determination. So whatever else may be going on cosmologically, we have a very direct cause and effect. It's called weather warfare, which amounts to biological warfare as well. And, Jeff, have you seen the incidence of, for example, thunderstorm asthma, a new term that we had almost 10,000 people hospitalized from one storm in Australia from an an absolute emergency epidemic of thunderstorm asthma. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it. I really didn't know what it was.
It's happening over and over. You have in the UK right now, you have a virtual crisis epidemic of respiratory issues. These particles are highly inflammatory to the respiratory system. Aside from the overall toxicity, they are extremely detrimental to the respiratory system. So when we know that we've seen these escalations atmospherically with testing, we know that the elements match the patents exactly, we know the aircraft are spraying because we have up-close film footage of it, and we have a full history going back 70 years of these programs. So again, whatever else is going on, I think we need to focus on what we know is going on. If we can stop that, maybe we can look at other factors. But if we don't stop that, we stay on this course, it's going to be game over soon.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dane Wigington.
Hello, I'm on the air.
Yes, you are. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, this man that's talking, we need to thank this man so much because the greatest thing I think is happening right now, especially in 2017, is that we've been shown this Wizard of Oz that we've been in, the hidden hand that's been trying to control us. We need to come together and continue waking up. However we thought freedom was going to look, it may not look the end result in what we thought it was, but this man is telling a lot of truth, and it is really true, and these things are happening to us. We're being controlled. Those that's in power is doing everything they can do and think of, and all the technology, the hidden technology they've been having to use against us to control. But the greatest gift is that we have an opportunity now to see what was being done to us and get out of denial. And I thank the guy on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank that caller for giving a bottom line scenario that we face, the man behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, and that's what the population needs to wake up to. We're living in the Truman movie set.
The Truman Show.
People are familiar with that, the Truman Show, yeah.
Good comparison.
And if you know, the delusion will not maintain itself much longer, no matter what. The sooner people wake up, and that call to action, I greatly thank that caller for. That's exactly right. It's a team effort, and it will take all of us. If for those that are sitting on the bench thinking someone else is carrying the baton up the field, we all have to carry that baton, or it's not going to make it up the field. It's going to take all of us.
We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
Good.
It's Mario in the Bronx.
Do you have a comment or question?
I'd like to thank Dane for his work. And as I've been listening to your show, Jeff, through the years, he has become a greater presenter of this, deeper, a better speaker. I just want to pass him that compliment. Mr. Wigington, in my neighborhood here in the Bronx, there's a black, when we first moved here in the 80s, this wasn't present. But as the years went on, there's like a black mold that grows even on the plastic siding, little specks. And it's a mold. It's not soot. So that's something that's happening locally. And your way of instructing of detoxing from the heavy metals or testing it is definitely a gold standard, you know, to do a pre-disruption of it so you can get an accurate test. I have to. I'm going to get retested myself soon. All right. My question to you is, as the planet warms, like, where should you go? Should you go further north, anticipating? Is there going to be, like, a crash where suddenly within a year or two, it's just going to be warm and it's not going to reverse?
Yes, and let me back up to the mold question first, because I believe what you're describing completely. And that category, if people want to stay healthy, it's imperative to keep your body alkaline, keep an environment that is not conducive to funguses to take root. So that's one more health tip. About the abrupt climate shift, because you are correct, Mario, this is where we're headed. This is not just climate change or global warming. Mathematically, statistically, we are in free fall into what would be more correctly termed an abrupt climate shift. And that will be evident to all very, very soon. There'll be no hiding it. So with that in mind, again, first, wherever you go, we'll only buy a little more time if we don't have a complete change of direction for the human race, starting with stopping climate engineering. There are many, many other factors. There's many other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. We need to deal with them all, but first and foremost, we need to deal with climate engineering so the planet can respond. So about your choices of where to go, if you had a choice to go anywhere, Chilean Patagonia would probably be the first choice.
Wow.
If you can't go to the southern hemisphere.
The famous chef, Chef Malman, hangs out.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, Southern Hemisphere has property down in Patagonia.
Hmm. Southern Hemisphere will be insulated slightly longer from what's coming. But yes, again, about your question, we likely face an unimaginable temperature rise in the next decade, perhaps as much as 5 to 8 degrees C.
Well, and Cuomo, the governor of New York announced today they're going to close Indian Point. I would imagine that global warming and possible flooding has something to do with that. The plant is very, very old. Good news. All right, thank you very much. I'll listen to the rest of the show, get somebody else on.
Jeff, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mario.
You're welcome.
Appreciate those comments and questions.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to have time for another phone call. Listeners, the number to call and speak with Dane if you have a comment or question is 347-335-0818. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, gentlemen. Great show as always. My name is Rose. I live in Flemington, New Jersey, and I used to be an avid gardener, but I don't do that anymore. I do want to give some suggestions about how to control this microfine dust, which is part of the problem. I mean, your old diesel dirt is one thing, but this is so fine that I have experimented with like two sets of shears. Now, that's very good from the insulatory way, and light still comes in and heat still comes in your apartment, but by the static electricity generated between these two nylon sheets, it picks it up. Dump it in a plastic bag and wash it frequently in clean things, baking soda or vinegar or borax, whatever. It's very important right now to use air cleaners. Clean your apartment thoroughly. Vacuum a lot. Use those foam or feather dusters. And if you have hot air heat, you can get what is known as a retail or medical grade filter replacement. If you have hot water heat, on the other hand, or some other type, you really should invest in some air cleaners. You don't want to breathe this in your house every day that you're here. And if you have the luxury of working at home, stay out of this stuff. This is really lethal. As far as naturally chelating our bodies, not a bad idea to eat a lot of cilantro and parsley. And there's something else called butcher's broom, which will sweep an awful lot of rubbish out of your body. But the amount of COPD that I see around here in Hunterdon and Bucks County, and heart problems and respiratory problems and you name it, we've got to take charge of this for ourselves. And I also think when we drop our thermostats, we are sending a little gentle message that we're not going to be duped into overheating our homes and letting them become toxic waste dumps for fun and profit.
Thank you for those suggestions. And if you are able to create successfully a static charge on those barriers, that may be an effective template to grab those particulates. There's an ionic breeze, a type of similar static charge that collects particulates, and that's one way to help. While we're doing all this to stay healthy, it's imperative that we all join in the battle to expose and halt these programs, because even if we are able to maintain our health for a longer period in time, the planet's dying. And if we continue to see atmospheric destruction, ozone destruction, the contamination of the entire planet, and the damage that's occurring in all of us, it's cumulative. So along with doing everything we can to stay healthy, we all need to join the fight to expose and halt these programs. And there's instructions for that on geoengineeringwatch.org, activist suggestions.
Oh, good. Okay.
What
are
you guys going to do?
We have time for one more call. Caller, can you make this brief, please?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for all your work. And wondering what you're doing to connect with other organizations like here in New York. I remember, I think it was Long Island, Skywatch that was doing some testing and was also trying to get some representatives and some actions to prevent any spraying in Long Island, New York City. If you can comment on that.
Have had communication with them. Certainly we want to work with anybody that is willing to, stay in the fight and would be willing to work with anybody from that group as well. We just simply need people that will actually stay in the front line and continue on in this battle until we have this issue fully exposed. And that's a lot of problems we've had. A lot of people, become discouraged a little too quickly and sit back down on the bench. And we need people to stay on the playing field and help us to sound the alarm.
Dane, I really appreciate your
taking the phone calls from listeners, and we're running out of our time here on In Other News. Your website is geoengineeringwatch.org. Is there anything you want listeners to look out for coming up in terms of presentations or things that you're doing?
Just one thing I would like to encourage people to never underestimate their personal power to help affect this equation. If they simply put one foot in front of the other, use our tools effectively. You can download flyers for free from geoengineeringwatch.org, business card size, informational cards for free. Arm yourself with credible information, plant or start spot fires of awareness with those around you. Help us to get this issue to the light of day.
Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org. Thank you so much for being on In Other News.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, that's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. I do think we're preempted next Monday at 11 p.m. for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, unless I fundraise. We shall see what happens. But I just want to say thank you again for the listeners calling in, commenting, and asking questions. See you the following Monday, 11 p.m.